Welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast, where you'll learn how to structure terms and use various creative financing strategies to create profitable deals for short and long-term wealth. Whether you're a buy and hold investor, wholesaler, or flipper, learning creative financing will help you do more deals and unlock profits that you may not even know existed. On the Creative Financing Podcast, we break down actual deals we and our guests are doing and simplify the methods and terms used to execute these strategies. Now, let's dive in and create some terms.
Hi, and welcome to the Creative Financing Podcast. I'm Jeff Rappaport, and we are with just me today. Jonathan Gallegos is out. What I'm going to do today is continue on with this series that we've been doing. We went through the different kinds of strategies, at least some of the most used strategies that I use, and there's six of them. We have lease options. We have contract for deed. We have all-inclusive trust deed and note, seller subordination, and which one am I missing? So we have lease option, contract for deed, trust deed and note, seller subordination, all-inclusive, and subject to. And we have covered all of them in some way or another, except for lease option. Last episode, we went through how to use a seller subordination. I'm going to show you one more example on seller subordination for this episode. And then next episode, we will wrap this series up and talk about lease options and how we can use them both in making offers to sellers and using them on our exit strategies with tenant buyers. So let's just jump right into this. And we may have talked about this example before, and there's a reason why I like this one. We did this, I don't know, 9 months ago, a year, maybe even longer, but it's a condo. And I think most investors try to stay away from condos. The HOA fee kind of gets in the way. And if you listen to a few episodes ago, we actually just bought a house subject to, and the HOA kind of got in the way. So definitely know whether it's a condo or a house, anything that has an HOA, make sure that you understand what you can and cannot do, because it could be a deal breaker. This, let me give you the specifics. It's a 2-bed, 1.5-bath condo. They owe $30,000. They had a payment of $410 a month, PITI. So that includes taxes and insurance. The seller thought the property was worth $180. We thought it was worth $190. They were asking $170. The property is dated. And when I say dated, it's not updated. It's what you would find a normal condo that has not been really updated. Looks kind of like an apartment, and but in good shape. The HOA runs $140 a month, and it would rent for $1,100 to $1,150 a month. And I think that is really all you need to know. And so we made the seller a number of offers, right? And when you're dealing with, $170,000 purchase price, we always want to get in light. Our down payment needs to be on the lower end. And that becomes a little bit of a challenge in some of these lower price range type properties, because it just doesn't give the seller a whole lot of money, right? So we had made the seller that we might have offered $7,000 down, and we may have offered like 10. And the reason for that is that we're expecting to sell this property and be able to get a 10% down payment from our buyer. And we might be able to get more, but I don't want to go into this deal thinking that I'm going to get more and not being able to. And remember, it's not completely updated. So that may affect the buyer's down payment. So we made those two offers. We made a lowball cash offer, and then we made a subordination offer. And so let me tell you how we structured this. Now, in the last episode, that property was free and clear. In this episode, they have a small loan on the property still. And to be able to do subordination, if you remember, subordination means that the seller will take back their equity in second position and allow us to borrow against the property in first position. So whatever down payment we offer, we've got to make sure it's at least as much to cash out that underlying loan, because they're in first position now. We couldn't be in first position if we don't cash them out. So in this case, this loan is kind of in the way. It's got a $400 a month payment, which is not bad, but and that's why we structured multiple offers. We gave them a choice, but figured that, hey, there may be, you know, sellers do sometimes get worked up about leaving a loan in place. They're concerned about the due on sale clause, and it's something that you can overcome very easily once you've done this business for a while and you become confident in how you speak to sellers. In this particular case, or this particular strategy, we'll get rid of that objection completely. They're not going to end up with a whole lot of money, but maybe that's not really the motivation. Maybe the motivation is just don't want the headache. Maybe they've been renting it. Maybe they're not going to live in it anymore. It will also, if this becomes an issue, if this was their primary residence and they have this loan, and maybe they are having some difficulty qualifying for a new loan. Now, granted, the payment's not very much, and more than likely, it probably doesn't affect their debt to income ratio qualifying for a conventional loan on another property, but it might. In this particular case, if we offer subordination, no due on sale clause issues and no debt to income issues, because this debt will be gone. Okay. So if they were buying another property, that would be ideal. Plus any cash flow they're getting, they can just apply toward their new monthly payment. So here's how we offered to do this. We offered them a down payment of $35,000. 30 of it will go to pay off the underlying loan. The balance will go to the seller, which is $5,000 or so. The balance, we offered $175,000, so $5,000 more than what they were asking. And their equity of $140,000 will be secured against the property in second position. We said we pay them $525 a month, principal only. Okay. And if you listen to last episode, I do a lot of principal only on subordination. If I'm doing any kind of interest, it's very low. The reason for it is that $35,000 or whatever the down payment is that we're offering to a seller, we are going to borrow. And we're going to borrow from a private investor at typically 6, 7, or 8% interest. And there'll be interest only payments. So in this case, let's figure out what that would be. So we'll just enter in $35,000 times 0.06. Would be 2100 divided by 12. So our monthly payment would be $175. And let's see, if we did 7%, it would be 204. So let's call it somewhere between there, right? Between 175 and let's say $200. And so we know that this property will rent for $1,100. But we got to remember, if we rent it, we're responsible for the taxes. And I don't even know if I figured out what the taxes are on this one. I don't know if I included that. $837 a year. So that's divided by 12. That's about $70 a month. Insurance is probably another 40 or so. So we're at 110, plus we've got the HOA. So that's $250. More than likely, we would be responsible for if we do any kind of rent or rent to own. Typically, you might be able to pass on the HOA, you might not. So I picked 525. So that would leave, if we're paying, let's say, $175, that's $700 total payment that we are paying our seller and our private lender. $175-ish to the private lender, $525 to the seller. Now remember, we're getting into this property no money down. None of this money's coming from us, which means that when we sell this, lease option it, whatever it is that we're going to do, whatever money we can get from our buyer as a down payment, that goes into our pocket. Love subordination. All right, so we structured it for 60 months. And the reason that I put this one out longer than normal, maybe, and when I say it's really not long, I usually like to try to structure something that's a little shorter term, because that really gets the attention of sellers. They don't really mind doing creative financing, but if you start asking for, you know, 7 years, 10 years, 15 years, they start getting a little, and not everyone, but you'll start getting less and less deals accepted. So I always like to make some shorter time frame. And when I say shorter, 3 years to 5 years, and maybe even six. But I also want this property to pay down, because you remember that $35,000 is interest only. So as we pay that each month, in 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, I still owe $35,000 to my private lender. So we want that $140,000 equity to the seller to pay down over some time. That way we get some principal pay down. And if you remember from last episode, the reason I like to do that is that I don't want to have a loan that's paying down that I'm offering to a buyer, but my loan is not. It can work, but I don't like having that. And we certainly don't want to be upside down where we owe more to the seller than the buyer owes us at the end of the term. That we don't want to happen. So I usually structure it. I'd rather up the price a little bit and make it principal only. That way we get that principal pay down. So $525 a month times 60 months would be $31,500. And so at the end of 60 months, we would owe the seller $108,500, and we would owe the private lender $35,000. So we would owe $143,500 total, okay? Fairly straightforward, I think. And so let's see what it is that we're going to do with this. So we are, remember I told you we thought the property was worth 190. We sold this property for, in my example, we put 200. I think it was 205. It doesn't really matter. We'll go with 200. Keep the numbers very simple. Got a down payment of 10%, $20,000 down. That means that we are financing the buyer for $180,000. And so Now, what we do is we got to figure out what we're going to charge them interest rate wise. So $180,000. Remember, the rents were about $1,100 a month. That's what you could get in rent. So I'm trying to keep my principal and interest payment in that range. Okay. It might be a little more. And remember, they're going to be responsible for taxes and insurance and HOA. So that's going to be an add-on. So we actually sold it for 6.5%. So if you put in 180,000 is present value, 6.5% interest, and we amortize it over 30 years, 360 is in, solve for payment. Whoops. 180 is present value, 6.5, and 30 years. It comes out to be $1,137 principal and interest. Okay, so it's in that range of 1,100. Okay, and that's without the taxes that I think we said were 70, another $40 for insurance, and 140 for the HOA. So when it's all said and done, they're going to have a payment just under $1,400. Okay. Their balloon payment in 60 months will be I know what I did. Okay. So just figure this out one more time. 6.5. And one of the things that you don't normally want to do is you don't want to give your buyer all the time that you have, because if they don't buy, then you're out of time with your seller, and you don't really want that. But in this case, let's just figure out what would they owe us after 60 months. They would owe $168,499. Okay. And we owed 108.5 plus 35, so 143.5. So let's see, 143.5 and 168.499 minus 143.5. So we make $24,999 at the end. That's when they refinance. We make this $20,000 profit up front. And what will be our monthly cash flow? So we are paying out about $700 a month, but we are collecting 11. No, I can't find it. 1137. So 1137 minus 700 equals $437. $437 on a little condo for under $200,000 that we put no money down, and we've already made $20,000 up front. We make $437 a month. I mean, it's a great deal. And then we get another $25,000 at the end. Super simple. And we did it based on that the seller had a small mortgage. We were able to take that out, eliminate any of the due on sale concerns and any debt to income concerns. We would make 437 times 60, we'd make $26,220 over 5 years in cash flow, plus $20,000 down payment, plus about $25,000 at the end. We make $71,220 on a property that we buy and then we sell right away. For the next 5 years, where we become the bank, We're not paying the taxes nor the insurance or the HOA on a $170,000 condo that we're actually paying the seller $5,000 more than they wanted. That's why I love subordination, because it works awesome. Now, could we then lease option this instead of selling it on terms? Yes, we could. However, remember, maybe we could get $1,200 a month because we're offering it as a rent to own, but we more than likely will certainly be responsible for the taxes and insurance. So we would net just under 1,100, 1090 or so, but we'd have to figure out who's responsible for the HOA. We'd probably have to make the tenant buyer responsible, and we probably are not going to get the same kind of down payment. We're probably going to get more like $6,000 or $10,000 down payment instead of the 20, but we'll have a larger back end, because if they're paying rent, they're not paying any money down. So if we're selling it for 200, let's say that they put $10,000 as an option deposit, they still owe 190, and we would owe 143.5. So we'd make 46,500, but we're not getting as much cash flow. We do get the tax benefit. We do get the depreciation. There are advantages to doing it one way, and there are disadvantages of doing it the same. So I would tell you that look at each individual deal and certainly the market that you're in, and figure out where you're at in your business. What are you trying to accomplish? As a lease option, I would push all of the maintenance and repairs to the tenant buyer. They'd be responsible. So I don't really need any kind of property management. But I would tell you this, that in my experience, lease option tenants buy far less than people that actually buy the property with owner financing. Lease option tenants follow through far less. So you decide how you want to deal with it, and we'll dive into lease options more in the next episode. But know that using subordination typically gives you some different options, and I love to use subordination when I know my exit strategy is going to be an owner-occupant. And if we can keep that down payment fairly low, and when I say fairly low, to somewhere between 10 to 20%, maybe even 25%, and maybe even a little bit more in some cases, this works super well. So hopefully that gives you two really good examples to kind of compare and contrast. We'll wrap this episode up here. Jonathan should be back with me for the next episode. Please, if you like our podcast and you'd like us to continue to keep bringing you content, please rate and review us. It helps us get out to more and more people. We'd really appreciate that. We have a Facebook group, the Creative Financing Facebook group. Certainly go and join. Happy to answer questions that you have, look at deals that you're looking at doing. If it's not me, it'll be other people that are very, very experienced in doing creative financing. Plus, you'll get some different perspectives. I think that's always a good thing. If you are interested in the Creative Financing Academy, that is all about creative financing. Certainly reach out to me, Jeff@weofferoptions.com. And if you want to know a little more about it, just reach out and ask for the free video. The video is awesome. It's just me taking a lead from my CRM and going through my mindset of what am I going to do, and kind of throwing different ideas and numbers out and trying to figure out what's the best scenario for this particular property, and then going through the different offers, making multiple offers, putting together an LOI, and then going through and walking you through what the exit strategy will be. So just reach out to me and say you want the free video. I'm happy to send it to you. And then if you want information on the Creative Financing Academy, let me know. We also do an apprentice program. Our apprentice program is about what we do as a business. We are virtual wholesalers, although we are getting more into buying properties and either wholetailing them, retailing them, doing short, small rehabs, or stabilizing them. That we're doing that more with commercial, and either keeping them or reselling them for bigger profits. Whether you want to be a wholesaler or not really does not matter. It's about generating leads. You really want to be the person in your business that can generate leads. Otherwise, you're relying on others. And if you are a rehabber and you are relying on wholesalers to give you deals, you might not love all the deals that you're seeing right now. So if you're generating the leads, you get to pick and choose which ones that you want to work on, how you want to structure them for whatever it is that your business model is. And then I would tell you, wholesale the ones that you don't want. Monetize your leads. And we talk about commercial properties and land and how to do it virtually and every aspect of it. The kind of the cool part with this program is that not only are we going to give you information, we have coaching calls, we have archives of different we've gone over everything you could imagine. But we're gonna hold you accountable. Right? We're gonna give you a plan, and we're gonna help you take action. So that is the goal. It's also an earn while you learn kind of program, so you can make some money along the way. And we are strictly looking for people that are serious. I'd much rather work with people that really want to make something happen. Those are the people I can really help. If that's of interest to you, want to know more, you can certainly reach out to me or Rebecca, R-E-B-E-C-C-A at weofferoptions.com, and just ask about the apprentice program. Again, I thank you so much for being a listener, and hopefully we can continue to bring you good content that helps you in your real estate business. Until next time, create some terms. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the Creative Financing Podcast. We need your feedback to continue to bring you the best strategies in creative financing. So please subscribe, rate, and review the show on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts. We greatly appreciate your ear, and please pass this on. Until next time, create some terms. This show offers general information on creative financing strategies and real estate investments. Nothing contained herein should be considered personal, legal, or financial advice. Every state has individual laws governing the use and type of documents used to execute strategies discussed herein. You should consult with a local licensed real estate broker and attorney before relying on any information contained herein. Information is not guaranteed, and opinions of the guests are their own. Profits are not guaranteed, and there's always inherent risk in real estate investing.